Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
Welcome to Onceable, Hypeable's Once Upon a Time podcast. I'm Jen, and today I'm joined by Kristen and Laura. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
All right, so we are going to talk about last night's episode of Once Upon a Time, which was called The Jolly Roger, and was very Hook-centric, which we all kind of really like around here. So let's start off with our quotes of the evening. So, Kristen, what were your favorite quotes from this episode?
Well, it was a toss-up between Regina's, he's prone to violence, impulsive, and has a hook for a hand. What about him would a 12-year-old boy not like? And Charming's, I've seen enemy battle plans that were easier to decode than this.
Yes, that first one was hysterical. And I love the fact that he and Emma are both, like, surrounded by a baby crib, and they have absolutely no idea what to do with it.
Well, and I love that they, like, start zoomed in, so you can't tell what they're doing. He's just looking at a piece of paper, and then they zoom out, and you see all the pieces. It's just so great.
Yeah, and Mary Margaret's like, go get Geppetto. He's good at this stuff. Like, what are you guys doing? That was so funny.
That was pretty funny. All right, so, Laura, what were yours?
My favorite was Hook and Smee in the bar were just, like, routinely hilarious. But the one that I really liked was... Smee going, what's keeping us from teaming up again, hitting the high seas, getting back to pirating? And then Hook goes, you mean other than getting attacked and turning into flying monkeys? So I really loved that. The two of them were just kind of just very hilarious throughout.
Yeah, I also had a Smee quote, and it's when he's like, Captain, I agree with you. This place has its bright spots. I've never had tried anything quite like frozen yogurt before. So I thought that was kind of funny. And then the other one was from Regina. And she says, the number of spells involving baby parts would surprise you. It was so disturbing.
It was very creepy.
The thing that was great was looking at everybody else's face after she said it, because she was, like, so matter-of-fact, and everybody else was like, ew! It was great.
Okay, so let's get started with the episode, because there was a lot going on in this episode, and I think a lot of it is going to foreshadow what's to come for the remaining episodes, with Zelina and Hook and Emma and everyone. So the episode starts off in a flashback, and it's Hook's lost year, because he's the only one that has memories from his lost year. So we have Hook, and Smee is with him, and they're out pirating without a ship. So they're out stealing from the rich in their carriages and stuff. And it's Hook's kind of attempt to get back to his roots of being a bad guy. And it doesn't seem to be going all that well for him, because he can steal and he can do those things, but there's still something that kind of weighs on him. Did you guys notice that?
I did, and I just felt like he was hilariously almost Robin Hood-like. I was like, are the two of them going to, like, team up and, like, rob? Like, the only difference is Robin Hood would rob from the rich and give to the poor. Hook would rob from the rich and give to himself. But it's close. It's close. You got to give a boy credit for trying.
I just thought it was really, really adorable that he's like, no, I'm bad. I'm still bad. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm still a villain. Stop it. Like, the whole episode, it was just so cute. It's like, yeah, you just keep trying, Hook. We know that you have a soft spot.
Well, it was like, who are you trying to convince, Hook? Because, you know, it feels like you're trying to convince yourself right now.
Right.
So there was that. And then we kind of go to the present, and we have Regina, who's placed a spell around David and Mary Margaret's apartment, that it cannot be broken by blood magic. So it's a spell that they're safe from Zelina as long as they're in the apartment, which is kind of restrictive, you know, and so many things could go wrong with that kind of spell, but that's what she's basically got for him. So from there, we kind of move into Emma decides that the only way that they're going to, because Regina talks about, you know, how she can't defeat Zelina, and Zelina's ridiculously powerful, and the only way she defeated her last time was because she didn't bring her heart, you know, that was the only way. So Emma says, fine, maybe it's time I learn magic too, because if the two of us work together, maybe we can beat her. And Regina's like, seriously, now? And so Emma's like, yeah, let's do it. So Regina and Emma go off to kind of learn magic, so Emma can learn her own strength and figure out how to use her magic more consistently, because she's only ever used it like a couple of times. So that's their plan, is that they're going to teach Emma magic. Now, at this point in time, they have to figure out what to do with Henry. So Emma's like, okay, yeah, I'm going to take Henry and I'm going to, you know, have him watched by. And David and Mary Margaret are like, oh, we'll watch Henry. It'll be awesome. And Emma kind of has to break it to them that he finds them a little boring, which they don't take very well. They're very kind of affronted by that they're not boring. But really, Henry wants to spend time with Hook, which is an interesting thing, considering that's not how it usually goes. So we have some more Hook and Henry time in this episode. And Hook is teaching Henry how to play dice, which is with French dice.
And with loaded dice. Like, not just dice, but rigged dice. I mean, oh my God. Can we say, like, fun uncle with no rules? Like, that's so totally what he is.
He is. He's that uncle at family reunions that's teaching you how to cheat at cards. Like, that's exactly what he is.
Yeah, so that part was really entertaining. But I found it so funny about how, like, upset David and Mary Margaret were that they weren't fun. Like, they were so, like, they were not okay with that at all. So that was really entertaining. And then Hook is really kind of excited that Emma's embracing magic, and they have a talk about it, because she's telling him what she's doing. And you can kind of tell that Hook believes that by Emma embracing magic, it's going to keep her with them in Storybrooke, and more specifically with him. Although she insists that once this is done, once everyone's safe, she's going to take Henry back to New York and keep things the way that it was, which doesn't really suit Hook at all. So it'll be interesting to see how that kind of dynamic continues to play out, because there's a part of him that wants nothing more than for her to stay. And I think there's a part of her that really wants to stay too. So we'll see kind of how that works in the end.
I'm curious too, because, like, I don't know how that's going to work with her embracing magic and the whole concept of magic coming at a price. And I'm like, so the price for Emma learning magic is what exactly? Like, I'm confused how all this magic and, you know, I want magic just for now and then go back to the real world, and there doesn't seem to be a price so far. So I'm really curious how this is all going to come about, because I feel like maybe there is a price, and maybe the price is you have to give it up. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. We will talk about that a little later down the road when the other stuff comes up. But so we go back to a flashback time in Hook's past, and he's at the pub with Smee and everybody and his merry men, and they have basically purchased him a lady friend for the evening, and so he pretends he's going to be a pirate and do what pirates should do, and kind of sneaks at the back with her and then tells her to go. Like, so even though Hook is still trying to be a pirate, so much of him has changed, and so much of him still thinks of Emma, that he can't kind of be the Hook that he used to be. So while he's outside and tells the lady to go, another lady sneaks up on him and knocks him out. And that lady is Ariel. She's come looking for Eric, and the last time Eric was seen, he was seen on the Jolly Roger. So that kind of leads us to this thing where Hook wants the Jolly Roger back. And he keeps referring to the ship as a she, and she's very important. And I think part of that storyline where he's constantly referring it to she and he has to have her back, I think part of that is he wants the Jolly Roger to get back to Emma. So it's not really just about the ship for him. It's also, in his mind, his way back to Emma.
Yeah, it's a means to an end.
Right. So yeah. As he's saying all these things, Smee's like, it's just a ship. Like, they're all very confused by this sentimentality that Hook has all of a sudden. Which was kind of cute in a way. So as they're talking, Ariel fills in Hook about how Eric was taken on the Jolly Roger, and then they discover by looking at the dagger that there's a B&B on it, and so we know that it's Blackbeard. So Blackbeard has taken the Jolly Roger. We go back to the present day, where Emma and Regina are practicing magic. They go to the vault, And Regina tells Emma not to touch anything. So, of course, Emma picks up this really weird claw foot. And Regina's like, what did I just say? So she's an interesting teacher, to say the least. And so they're trying, and it's not really working. So Regina decides that she's going to be much more like Rumple in the way he taught, because Rumpel, you know, if he was teaching you how to swim and you didn't know how to swim, you would drown, is what Regina says to Emma. So she basically chucks Emma on this, like, rickety wooden rope bridge and tells Emma, you know, save yourself, and starts to make everything on the bridge fly apart. And all Regina wants Emma to do is to fix the bridge so that she can be safe and walk over to the side. Instead, Emma, like, concocts this whole new bridge kind of thing and makes her own, like, floating wooden pallet of stuff.
Yeah, and, the flying carpet.
Yeah, and Regina's just like, you have been wasting all your talent. So Regina's, like, not upset that Emma didn't do what she wanted her to do, or any, she's upset that she's wasted her potential. Like, and you can really see it in Regina. Regina's like, what? How is this okay? So again, a really interesting moment, and I think Regina and Emma working together is really cool, and I like the dynamic they have around magic, because Regina knows every, you know, there's so much she knows about magic, and Emma knows nothing, and she's not necessarily willing to embrace it. So it'll be interesting to see how that continues to play out as we move forward into the rest of the season.
I feel like that whole thing was very in character for Regina, because especially after last week finding out about Zelina and her being the sister that Rumpel was talking about being more powerful, like, it seems very in character for Regina to be like, you've been wasting all of this. Like, I wish I was you. I wish I had that much power.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that for Regina right now. She feels a little displaced by everything, so hopefully this will all work out in the end, but I don't know. There's so much going on. All right, so moving on from there, we get Ariel turns up in Storybrooke. And the second that Ariel turns up, Hook gets a little weird. Like, he starts, you can tell there's something's not okay. And now, we've already seen the flashback knowing that Ariel's seen Hook in the past. But at the time, when David and Mary Margaret ask him, he says he hasn't seen Ariel and hasn't heard anything of Eric. So he lies, and we don't really know why at first, because we don't know what the rest of the flashback is. So Hook lies, and he's very uncomfortable being around Ariel. Were you guys concerned that he did something bad in the past? That's why he lied?
I just assumed that something bad happened. Like, that either Eric was dead and they never found him, or, you know, or something like that. I didn't necessarily assume Hook had done something underhanded because of how he's, you know, kind of changed now and how he seemed to have already changed in the flashbacks we got. But I really did think that something bad had happened to Eric.
Yeah, I very much with what Kristen just said. I was along those same lines. I was seriously wondering, like, a fate worse than death, or, yeah, exactly.
Okay. So then we, from there, David makes the executive decision to make Hook help Ariel, and then he and Mary Margaret will stay with Henry, because Hook tries everything, and I do mean everything, to not have to help with Ariel, because he's so uncomfortable by it. So Ariel and Hook go off to Gold's shop to look for something of Eric's so that they can locate him. And David takes on Henry and decides he's going to be the fun grandpa, even though Henry doesn't know he's grandpa. He's going to be the fun one. And in all his infinite wisdom, in order to be the fun one, David decides to let the 12-year-old drive his truck through Storybrooke. Not in a parking lot, not in an open field. Downtown Storybrooke.
With, like, Main Street. Pedestrians. With, like, people, and just, like, oh my god, yes.
Like, why not use a back road? Like, there's enough
exactly.
Country back road.
Or tool around Granny's back parking lot or something.
Yeah.
Like, surely. Or like, Henry went to a school. Go take him to school parking lot or something. That was just like, oh my god. So bad. So bad.
Such a bad decision. I'm like, this is what happens when you try too hard, David. This is what happens. And Mary Margaret's not all for it, but she still lets it happen. Because, I mean, let's face it, she could have put her foot down, but she didn't. So, that's just bad. Not good. All right, so back in a flashback, Ariel and Hook take on Blackbeard, and Hook has to make a decision. Once they kind of defeat Blackbeard, Blackbeard tells him you can give me the Jolly Roger, and I can tell you where Eric is, because I've left him on an island where you'll never find him, or you can kill me, and Eric will die with me. And everyone's been kind of putting this pressure on Hook of, we know who you are, we know what, you know, you're not a pirate anymore, you care too much. So in order to kind of, you know, quell all that and to put all that off, Hook decides to be a pirate. And it's not his finest moment, and it's not a great decision, but he makes Blackbeard walk the plank. And Ariel is kind of livid with him. And from there, it kind of cuts back into present day, where Hook and Ariel have the cloak. They find Eric's cloak, which is something Ariel had been wearing in the flashbacks. And the interesting thing is, once again, it shows the medallion of Ursula. I feel like we get little hints at her a lot more, and we haven't actually seen the real Ursula, so I'd be curious to know if, like, at some point in time, the real Ursula will come into play. So we have the cloak, they find it, and Belle puts a spell on it to find Eric. It's a locator spell, so it'll find the person who actually owns it. And the cloak takes them down to the pier, and it dives into the water. So, what happens is, when it dives into the water and goes underwater, Ariel kind of realizes that, well, he must be dead. Why would it go into the water? It doesn't make any sense. And so Ariel kind of breaks down, and Hook hugs her and tries to be nice to her. And then it kind of gets the best of him, and Hook has to admit what happened in the past. And at the end of the flashback, we had seen where Ariel basically yells at Hook and is angry with him and says, well, that's fine, I will find him on my own, and you're a sad person, and you're never going to get what you want, you'll always be a pirate, no one will love you, kind of thing. And Ariel takes off. So we assume that this is Ariel in front of us. And what we get is, as Hook starts to admit that what happens, that, you know, Eric is dead, and that he confesses everything that happened during the last year, and that it's his fault, and he's kind of been very guilt-ridden about the whole thing. And she makes him swear on his true love that he'll... What was it? Do you guys remember exactly
that,
what she...
Yeah, that he was telling the truth, or that...
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Right.
So she makes him swear on his true love's name. So he has to name the person he truly loves. And he names Emma, which isn't a surprise, I think, to anybody. The surprise is that Ariel quickly turns into Zelina. So did anyone actually see that coming at all?
No.
No.
Not at all.
No. In fact, I was so wrapped up in the fact that Hook was having... like, an emotional discussion. Like, what kept going through my head was, like, a quote from Harry Potter where Hermione says to Ron, you have, like, the emotional depth of a teaspoon. And I've always felt like Hook, other than when glimmers of when he's with Emma, does not have a very big emotional range. It's a lot of bravado. It's a lot of, you know, put on the bad boy swagger act. And he's having this incredibly emotionally raw discussion with Ariel. And I was like, whoa, this is the Hook we all know and love? Like, I was so caught up in it being a big turning point. And then she goes and turns into Zelina, and I'm like, oh, my God. I was, so yeah, the whole thing just, the whole sequence really just took me back.
So from there, we get lots of really good information in a really small amount of time. Zelina, basically, as soon as Hook says that he loves Emma, Zelina, like, throws a curse at him, and you see it hit his mouth. And so Zelina says, the next time you kiss Emma, she will lose all of her magic. And so, I mean, really, it seems like a very simple thing. Hook just can't kiss Emma, right? But, of course, Zelina throws in there that if he doesn't do it, she will start to harm everyone around Emma, because
right.
She can hurt everybody but Emma.
Right.
And that's what Hook realizes. Hook looks at her and says, wait a minute, why would you need me to do this? And then he's like, wait, you can't actually do anything to Emma. So
well,
for whatever reason, Zelina can't harm Emma in any way.
But here's the thing. I think that has to go logically, one step further. Because if you think about it, the easiest way in the world to have threatened Emma in New York would have been to take Henry and kidnap Henry. So I feel like she can't do anything to Henry either, because that would have been such the obvious ploy otherwise, and she didn't do it yet. So I feel like there's something deeper at hand here that Hook just didn't put all the pieces together yet. But, it, you know, maybe she can do something to David and Mary Margaret, but I feel like she still can't do something to Henry because she would have done that in New York too.
Yeah, that's true. And Hook does point out, you know, he's like, you sent a flying monkey to keep an eye on her. He's like, you did all of these things because you can't touch her. And, you know, you fear her the most. And so what Zelina really fears is Emma actually learning how to use her magic. Because I think in the end, Emma would be the most powerful of them all, because she's the product of true love.
Definitely.
So it'll be interesting to see how that kind of plays out moving forward, because there's a lot going on there with the whole idea of Emma having magic and this whole true love and all of that. So Hook is kind of now in this place where he's kind of stuck again. And I think we've seen Hook in this place before. So he says he won't do it, but Zelina insists that she'll hurt everyone in Emma's life until he does. So Hook's now kind of left alone. And what is he, you know, what is he going to choose? And I feel bad for him. I really do, because I feel like he gets put in this place repetitively, and he's yet to make the right decision. Do you guys feel that way? Like, given everything that he's been through in the past?
Yeah. Like, he's so evolved. Like, I was not a big Hook. I have to say, I was not a huge Hook fan until this episode. And now I just feel very much like he is looking more globally, in a sense, and he is looking out for more than just his personal happily ever after. He's genuinely thinking about other people and not just how it affects him. So,
yeah, I also just feel bad for him because, you know, our first real interaction with him was with Rumpel, and I can't think of her name, but Rumpel's wife, and he didn't really do anything wrong in that scenario, and he got pulled into that whole thing. Like, I don't think Hook really meant to do any wrong by her. She chose to leave, so it's like, I've always kind of had a soft spot for him, because I feel bad for him that, yes, he's a villain, but a lot of times he doesn't bring all of the bad on himself. It just kind of happens to him, and it keeps happening over and over again, and it's just one more time that he has to make a tough decision, and someone is going to hate him for it.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I want Hook to make the right choice this time. I want him to be able to be the hero for once, because I feel like a couple of times he's kind of been the hero, but he doesn't take credit for it. He does something stupid that'll screw it up because he doesn't want it to be that way, because that means he's not the pirate anymore.
Right.
And I think that was the whole purpose of this episode, was to kind of make Hook realize that being a pirate isn't who he really is anymore. So I'm hoping in the long run that he kind of gets it together and is able to do what's right.
Yeah, it's actually kind of funny. I was having this discussion, I think, with McCall on Twitter about Game of Thrones. It was actually Natalie Fisher I was having the discussion with. And I said I felt like for the series Game of Thrones, part of it could be subtitled The Redemption of Jaime Lannister. And I feel like Once Upon a Time, part of this series could be subtitled The Redemption of Killian. Like, I feel like he is so, like, turning around every episode. And it's not at the forefront of every episode, but it's, like, it's seriously going through there of how he's sort of redeeming himself through his own volition and being more open. Like, it's really, I think, very, very cool. So I feel definitely like it's going to happen, and I'm going to be morbidly upset if it doesn't. And I don't know that 3 months ago I would have cared, but I care now about that character, and I think that's huge.
Exactly. And I care more about the character. It's not just about the Hook and Emma dynamic. Like, I care about the character himself, because he has evolved from this guy who, but I think even in the beginning, like, there was a moment, I know everyone called him a homewrecker and that he stole Gold's wife, but part of that was Mila. Part of that was her choice too. And there was love there between them. There really was. And he lost that, just like Gold lost it. And so it was a dynamic that set him up to be very vengeful. And now that vengefulness has kind of subsided into something completely different. You know, he just lost Bay, who he considered, you know, a friend. And now he's got to deal with this whole Emma thing. And he's kind of really becoming close to Henry. And so he's got a lot going on. And I really hope it comes full circle for him. But this will be the test of whether or not he can actually do it or not. Because this is truly, like, this is it. Like, either he kisses Emma and takes her magic and does what Zelina wants, even though it would be to protect them in some way, or he fesses up and they figure out how to solve it as a group, you know?
Well, yeah, that was my question. When he came to the house or the apartment, he was looking for Mary Margaret. Was he looking for her to spill his guts and to tell her everything that's going on so they could try and find an answer? Or was he, you know, was he coming to tell her something else and give her another line so that he could disappear and not have to be around to find out what happened?
But I don't know why he would give Mary Margaret a line and then disappear. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Easier. It's telling Emma.
It's an interesting question. Yeah, I'm hoping he wants to tell. I would hope that he would tell Regina, though. Because, like, I know
Me
he
too.
And Regina don't always get along, but I feel like Regina is the best person to help in this situation.
I completely agree. I think him and Regina, if he told her what's going on, Regina's going to do everything in her power to help figure out what they can do, because Henry is one of these people that, you know, she could potentially hurt. Now, whether or not she can or not is, you know, we'll find that out. But, I mean, in Regina's eyes, Henry would be the first person she'd think of, so anything to protect Henry is going to be in her best interest. So, yeah, I can totally see her jumping on board to help Hook figure this out.
I mean, I could also see why he would go to Mary Margaret, because I guess you go to Mary Margaret when you want, like, advice for your heart and your love. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's why he would go to Mary Margaret. But if you just want, like, let's get this job done, I guess maybe that's why you go to Regina. So maybe that's why he was going to Mary Margaret, because it's not just about the whole if I kiss Emma thing. It's more about his heart than anything else. I don't know. It's interesting to think about, though. So that last scene, which we haven't talked about yet, Hook comes back and tells everyone what happened to Ariel and that she's gone off and she's with Eric and they're living their happily ever after. And while they're talking about it, Regina says, "Oh, Emma, come use your magic." And so Emma uses the looking glass to find them, and it's all Emma's magic. It's nothing to do with Regina or anyone else. And Hook is just kind of watching, and he's a little bit in awe, I think, by the power that she holds, and so he now has that, like, seeing how powerful she is, seeing what she can do to also weigh on him with everything else that's going on. And so everyone's going to dinner, and Emma, who starts calling him Killian, did you guys notice that? I'm not sure at what point, but...
Well, I mean, she had to do it with Henry, because she couldn't, like, call him Hook, despite the fact that he's still, like, garbed head to toe in leather. I'm sorry, like, he and Robin Hood need to go shopping together at the Urban Outfitters, and he needs to get his bad boy modern swag on.
That would be too much. I don't think we'll handle that.
I'm just saying, I think there are a lot of people with me who could handle Hook in a pair of jeans and, I don't know, a sweater or just
plaid.
Him and Robin Hood. I'm just saying, he needs to go shopping, and Robin Hood needs to take him. But in any case, I feel like the name just it. I feel like there's just such more reaction to her saying Killian because it's more of who he intrinsically is than Hook. Does that make sense? So
yes.
I feel like it's. Like, hopefully she continues to call him Killian when other people aren't in earshot, and I think that's going to be incredibly awesome.
So she invites him to dinner. She stops him and kind of invites him to dinner because they're all going to go to Granny's for dinner, and he turns them down, and it's almost like he reluctantly turns them down. Like, he wants to go, but at the same time, there's something holding him back. And so they kind of he kind of goes wandering off. And I couldn't decide if he was going to leave. Like, I felt a little bit like he might just go away. Because then if he's not there, he doesn't have to make a decision. And he can't be the thing that destroys Emma. And then, but he kind of takes out his little, what is it, telescope-like thing. And, like, looks at them through his telescope all at dinner together. And so it's the Charmings and Henry and Emma and Regina is at the table as well. And it's just sweet and very family-like. And you can tell he kind of longs to be there, but at the same time, he's not ready. He's not capable of accepting that for himself yet. What did you guys think of that last scene?
Yeah, he's just... I think he's just so torn trying to think of a way out that he's just, yeah, and that he does want part of it. I just think the emotional stakes on this episode were fantastic and had some of the best writing this season. I only wish they had done it earlier. It was awesome.
Yeah, I basically agree. I mean, I definitely wondered if his first instinct wasn't just get out of here. Like, just go. We'd find a way, get off of the, you know, get away from here, because you can't hurt her if you're not here. But, yeah, I think part of this whole character transformation is going to be he can't just not help. He has to be there. He has to do something. So,
yeah,
he's definitely going to be sticking around, but I just can't wait to see who he asks for help, because he's not going to be able to do it completely on his own.
True.
That's a really cool concept. And the fact that he would be asking for somebody for help, like on the level of which he's asking it, like, I feel like it's not just all about him anymore. So I think I think that's awesome. And I agree with you. I want to know who he's going to go to for help. I think that would be phenomenal.
Well, not only that, but, like, I kind of feel that my biggest concern, honestly, at the end of the episode was that Emma was going to follow him in the hallway and kiss him, because you kind of got that vibe, like, there was a moment.
Right.
And I was like, ah! So my thing is, Emma's going to go and try and kiss him, and he's going to push her away.
And actually, what was really hilarious, I don't know if you realize this, like, this is, like, the first time that Jen and I have ever watched the show sitting, like, right next to each other, because we're in Los Angeles right now. And during that scene, I don't know if you realize it, Jen, going to the TV, don't kiss him, don't kiss him.
I know, I totally was. I'm like, don't do it, don't make it happen, please, not now, not now. But, like, there was a moment, like, I felt like that was going to happen, and I was like, oh, no, it's going to ruin everything. But my new fear is that she's going to feel like she's ready, and she's going to make a move, and he's going to have to, like, rebuff her, and it's going to be all kinds of awkward. And because she's not going to know why, because he's not going to tell her, because he's, you know, Hook. So I don't know. I think that's some things to look forward to. And then the next coming episodes, just how he's going to handle that information and what he's going to do with it, and if he's going to get help. Because in the past, he's proven that he doesn't do the right thing or do it in the way you would expect him to do it. That makes everything easier. He always kind of makes things a little bit more difficult. So I'll be excited to see if he does something spectacular.
By the way, I think for a little while we're going to get a lot of, is she going to kiss him? No, don't kiss him moments, because they've only kissed once, and now all of a sudden, every scene they're in, I'm like, oh my God, what if she kissed him right now? Like, I am thinking of that now, so I have a feeling we're going to get a couple more of those before the season's done.
Yeah, that's mean. So mean. All right, so the preview for next week looks so cool and creepy. Regina says the only way to learn more about Zelina is to contact her mother, who is dead.
Which, so, I'm like, really? Like, we're having a seance?
Totally having, like, a seance. Loving it. It looks super creepy, like a little haunted house action.
Seriously.
And we get some serious Rose McGowan Cora, which is always really cool. And that's kind of where we head back to, because she would be the Cora that actually had Zelina. So maybe, just maybe, we'll find out who Zelina's father is, and that will give us some more information on how to handle things.
Well, here's my question, too, because just, like, this conjuring of the dead thing, like, does this not seem to anyone else like it's not going to go well? Like, does it not seem like it is a spectacularly bad idea?
Well, once you open that door, you never know what's going to come through it. 'Cause it's not,
yeah.
It's never a good idea. Good things never come from trying to contact the dead. Like, it just doesn't, it doesn't help.
And it's, like, for self-serving purposes. Like, the whole concept of magic comes at a price. And it seems like if you do magic altruistically almost for somebody else sometimes, that it's not as dear of a price. But I feel like this is pretty dark magic. Like, what is the price of doing this? Like, I don't know. I'm curious what the payback is going to be for this, because it doesn't seem to me like it's going to end well.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see how it all works out. So let's move on to some listener feedback, because some people had some really great comments about this episode. Laura, do you want to read the first one?
Sure. Okay. The first one is from Sama, and I guess it's a she. I don't know if it's a she. She says, Zelina, I was so proud of you for having the whole Ariel isn't Ariel twist, and then you monologued your star move away. Why would you tell him that kissing Emma would do bad things? Why wouldn't you just curse him and wait, like, one episode until he happens to kiss Emma? Stop monologuing. Oh, my God, that is hilarious. That's, like, the best comment ever. I think we just need that as stop monologuing as, like, a, like, that needs to be, like, memed by somebody. I love that. I think that's hilarious.
I just watched The Incredibles yesterday afternoon, and I read this comment, and I just started laughing, because in that movie, he talks about, you got me monologuing! Like, it's so funny, and I totally agree. She should have just stopped while she was ahead. She could have had everything she wanted in, you know, 20 minutes, rather than the days and weeks that are going to pass now, I'm sure.
Well, the other thing that, and I don't know if anybody else felt this, but that whole scene, the camera was so tight on the faces of Hook and Zelina, and she does some serious nose twitching in that scene, and, like, facial grimaces, that the camera angle was so tight. It was just, like, a really weird choice that they didn't do, like, you know, shooting over Hook's shoulder to see her. They did them, like, face-to-face. It is, I was being morbidly, like, just incredibly distracted by her nose and facial twitching. I don't know if anybody else felt that, but I was just like, oh my God, stop it. Back away from the face.
Well, and then part of me was wondering if this curse was Emma-specific, or if he kissed her right then, if he'd take her power. Because I was that would be quite the twist. Like, that would be hilarious. And
yeah,
she kept getting so close.
My mind. That definitely crossed my mind.
Yeah, like, she kept getting so close to him, I was like, what the heck is going on here? Yeah, so that was another thought that just kind of flitted in and out.
All right, Kristen, do you want to read the second one?
Sure. The second one comes from Kevin. He says, hopefully we will finally find out who Zelina's father is. My guess is that it's Leopold making Snow and Zelina sisters. That seems to be the go-to twist for this series, having everyone related to Henry, and since young Leopold, young Eva, and young Cora are all in next week's episode, all signs point to that twist. How did Zelina get Regina's heart from Robin? Oh man, I'm excited for next week. Can Henry just get his memories back, though? Yeah.
That actually would be awesome, like, Henry with memory back. I'm wondering how they might be able to, it would seem like that might work out better, you know, and I think at a certain point, Henry is going to be, like, if he does get his memory back, he's going to be really pissed off that people did not try to clue him in. Like, I think that's something that hasn't been addressed either, that I don't think Henry is going to be very appreciative of people deciding what's best for him.
Now, not only that, but what is his reaction going to be when he realizes, like, that he did have a relationship with Bay, and now Bay's gone? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
there's a lot of things that have to happen to make it all balance out, and I don't know how that's going to work for Henry. Okay, so that wraps up this episode of Onceable. And we look forward to next week's episode. It looks really creepy and exciting, and we can't wait to see what happens. As always, leave your questions, comments, theories in the posts. We're happy to discuss them, because you guys have some really good ones. And until then, we'll talk to you guys next time. I'm Jen.
I'm Laura.
And I'm Kristen.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.